Well, I had the most questions. Because everybody wanted to know more about the earthen vessel. And of course, you can see how long it takes me to get my earthen vessel up here these days. So I'm familiar with this problem. I think we have a hard time accepting we're just an earthen vessel. But in the questions, well, here's one. You mentioned in your message 2 Corinthians 4:7, which states that we have these earthen vessels, and as so, subjects to their frailties, physical, psychological, etc. However, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Now, how can we reconcile the old things passed away with the frailties of the earthen vessel that never changes? What are the old things that have passed away? Well, I used to be ugly, but then I got saved. Suddenly I became a handsome man. We're not talking about outward things. The old that has passed away is talking about the old man with his old attitudes and his old concepts and his propensity for sin. These things have passed away. In the context of 2 Corinthians 5:17, what he says as an application is, therefore you shouldn't look after anyone according to the flesh. That's old stuff. But you need to treat your brothers and sisters as a new creation in Christ and be an ambassador of reconciliation. That's all in that context. But now dealing with the earthen vessel, I know I almost gave permission for some people to bellyache about their problems and, oh, my anxieties, and let me tell you my problems, you know. The earthen vessel is, as Paul would put it here, neutral. It's not good or bad. It's your humanness. It's you were made out of clay, and you're an earthen vessel. Now, it's not to in any way excuse your neuroses and your hypochondriacism or anything like that. But when he mentions the fact that he is just an earthen vessel, he's mentioning it because his life is an obvious paradox. And if you listen to what I said last night, this new creation is a paradox. How could such a normal clay human being convey such a glorious treasure? It just doesn't make sense. There must be something more to this man than what meets the eye. Now, taking Paul himself, there's an interesting book that was written in the 2nd century AD called The Acts of Paul and Thecla. And I won't get much into that, except that it says that Titus gave a description to Thecla of what Paul looked like because she was waiting for him on the Roman road, and Titus told him what Paul looked like. And the scholars say there's no reason for them to not know what Paul looked like in those days. It had just never been mentioned in the Bible. Do you know what Paul looked like, according to this book? He was of short stature. He was bald. His eyebrows came together. It said that. His eyes were set deep. And he had a long, crooked nose. And he had bowl legs. But he was strong in physique. And the grace of God was upon him because sometimes he had the face of a man and sometimes the face of an angel. Now, how do you reconcile that? Except the miracle of the new creation. That is a short guy, and you wouldn't notice him twice if you saw him on the road. But then he begins to speak, and a glorious something comes out, a gospel of life, and even a touch of healing, or whatever it is, out of this earthen vessel. And so we're dealing with a paradox. Brothers and sisters, the idea is not for you to say, oh, I'm just an earthen vessel full of aches and pains and neuroses and complaints and anxieties and everything. You know, this present millennial generation as young adults are dealing with more and more anxiety than we ever have known in our lifetime. As an old guy, I grew up, my father was a psychiatrist, and I didn't know what was going on in me. When I was afraid, but I didn't know I was afraid. Kids today know that they were afraid, understand why they're afraid, and they know the psychology of being afraid. So kids today become so self-centered in their own feelings. You know what I mean? I fell down, I cut myself, I went home, I was okay. Now you cut yourself, you fall apart. Now all of these things have happened, and so when we're dealing with our present generation, you know, they're a bundle of neuroses. And the Lord saves them. And they become a new creation. And they become a paradox. Why? Because here is the deal. We are just earthen vessels. But by faith in Christ, we live a life that overcomes despite our earthenness. And what does that mean to overcome? I may be physically weak, but I stand up and by the faith of God, I say, Lord Jesus, be my healing today so that I might share the things that you have for me to share. And you trust the Lord that he will come through an earthen vessel. Just as it says in Revelation chapter 12, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. And we're not afraid to lay down our lives. So we as earthen vessels don't just lay on a couch, vegging out as an earthen vessel. No. By faith in Christ, I say I have a purpose in God. If I have a physical limitation and I have to stay at home, still, I claim that I have a calling in my life. I pursue it. And just in that very pursuit, I overcome. That's the paradox, because Paul talks, you know, the whole basis for that thorn in the flesh is Paul says, now I want to boast about a man in Christ I knew 14 years ago that got caught up into paradise and heard things that he can't even relate to human beings. Now I won't talk about myself, but I'll talk about that man, full of ecstasy. And then he said, and the Lord saw that man and said, I got to remind him of something. You're just an earthen vessel, Paul. Don't get all caught up in your magnificent visions. So here you go. The stake in the side. And suddenly Paul's back to where you and I are. We're hopeless dependents upon the Lord Jesus for our life, our resurrection power, and by faith we take hold of it. Wherever you are, whatever your problems, whatever your weaknesses, and those things often very legitimate, you must remember this. As a born-again person, there's a deeper layer of your life than you immediately are aware of. Let's turn to Psalm 42. Now, you know, I have four questions in 6 minutes, so I may just answer one question here, but here we go. In Psalm 42, we're all familiar with this Sons of Korah song. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day, where is your God? These things I remember and pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God. With a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Now, let's just put it this way. The earthen vessel has a soul, and in that soul are emotions. And probably the emotions are the most undependable part of our soul. Now, when a person has soulish problems, emotional problems of various kinds, there comes many moments in their lives where they cannot feel
God.
Because your emotions have been nixed by your anxieties or by your fears. Something has made those emotions undependable. And this psalm is actually, now we're supposed to hunger after God, but not fainting as a deer. Oh, where's God? I need a drink of water so bad, so bad. Well, now this is our emotions, and we can't feel God. I can't feel God. I can't feel God. And then in the midst of the thing, the sons of Korah comes back to a deeper lair they have within them. There is a deep stream of the Spirit that lays in the life of a believer. And finally, the Spirit rises up and says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Now, what's happening here is that the Christian has gone and found the Spirit speaking deep within and correcting the soul's faulty emotions. Whether you feel God is there or not, He's there. And when your soul gets out of its trial, its season of trial, suddenly you sense His presence again, even in your soul. We're meant to experience God, body, soul, emotions, intellect, will. But when we go through trials, often we lose that emotion. Now we think something's wrong. And then we discover our spirit all the time knows that God is real and God is with you and God is there. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Now listen, soul. You've run me long enough. I'm going to be run by the Holy Spirit who lives within. And you overcome. So the life of a new creation is a paradox, because despite our infirmities and our weaknesses, we're always able to overcome by faith. It is a life of faith. There's so much I want to say. I remember one time Lance said, when he was a teenager, he used to go to a famous church, a Baptist church there in London. And one time, you know, they had a victory conference there. You know, the Keswick teaching has victory conferences. And they talk about being, you know, we came through to victory in the Lord and all that. You know. And one time Lance went up and spoke to Alan Redpath, the pastor. He said, you know, I don't know if it's a victory everybody's talking about. I don't feel like I have victory. I got questions. I don't have victory. And you know what the pastor says? Well, we all claim we have victory, but none of us feel that way either. But now, I don't want to totally kibosh it, because what they're saying is by faith we stand in the victory even when we don't feel it. And the Lord confirms that He has gained the victory if we'll stand in that way. You understand what I'm saying? But when we talk about, you know, walking in the victory. Now, you know, back in the old days, I was a charismatic. Everybody come up to, hey, how you doing, brother? Praise the Lord. How are you? Praise the Lord. I hear your dog died. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everything's fine. Praise the Lord. You know what? There was a little bit of unreality there. I don't know if you picked it up, you know. Now, the Lord doesn't want us dragging around. And every time somebody asks us a question, how are you? You say, you got an hour and a half? Because this world just wants to hear you're fine. They go by outward appearances. And sometimes, if they see you don't have an outward appearance that looks like you're happy, they ask you what's wrong. Now, if you say, you know, I'm going through a difficult time spiritually, but I'm trusting God, they might not like that answer. They want you to say, oh, no, I'm fine. Everything's fine. Yeah, everything's fine. But, you know, a Christian goes through seasons where everything isn't fine. But do you trust him in those times? You may be somebody who, because of your makeup as an earthen vessel, has emotional swings and ups and downs for your whole life. It's a sine curve of joy and emotions and depression. And this may be your course. And this course is not going to change. When you get saved, the sine curve doesn't level out to a line. But in those moments where you go down into depression, if you've learned and lived with the Lord long enough, you'll learn, when I can't even pray, the Lord is praying with me. Listen, one of our favorite psalms is what? Psalm 103, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord who heals your diseases, who helps you in this and that. And then it says down in there, verse 13, God is merciful to us because He knows our frame. We are but dust. Don't you know God knows your frame? Do you think He says, oh, you didn't say, praise the Lord, I'm living in victory today. No, no, He knows your frame. He just says, are you weak and weary? Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Do you don't have an answer for the problem you're going through? Come to me. I'll be your answer. I'll tell you, but hang in here with me. We'll get through this together. See, Paul, when he talks about God coming as a comforter, he says a God of mercies and a God of comfort. Because He comes and comforts us with those problems that we have that defy easy answers. Oh, listen, dear earthen vessels. There'll come a day, in a twinkling of an eye, when the corruptible will put on incorruption, and the inglorious will put on the glorious. And you and I will be earthen vessels transformed in glory, even as our Lord Jesus. And we won't have to deal with all of these frailties of our earthen vessel. But until that day, we have to overcome by faith. The Lord knows your frame. The Lord has supply for that which you need. Our dear brothers and sisters who write all those great hymns we sing have all been through the mill of difficulties and everything. I don't know, the name just has escaped me right now, but who was the dear sister in India who was bedridden for years? What is it? Amy Carmichael. When you read her stuff and you see her poems, and you sing her songs, can you believe that woman was bedridden for 25 years? And ministered in that position. Just an earthen vessel, consecrated to the Lord. And when you looked at that dear sister, if you had a visit, you could go into that little house where she stayed there in India. With all that work going on and everything that God had done out of this woman, out of the frail woman's vision. You go in and look at this dear sister who's been laying there 25 years and she has the face of an angel. She's overcome. Just an earthen vessel. But believing that there's a treasure inside. Do you believe Christ dwells in you? That you have an incomparable treasure inside? And sometimes God has to squeeze you. Again, you know, like all of our kids now in the Manhattan Fellowship all have these kind of squeezed juice. It's not even juice. It's some kind of slimy stuff they're eating all the time. And we're just earthen vessels, and God gives us a little, and out comes that wonderful mango ooze. Oh, listen. I guarantee you, you have a treasure. Because Christ dwells in you. And if you'll just submit your mortal body, as weak and frail and fraught as it is, He'll find a way of squeezing treasure out of you. And people will say, you see that woman? She is a walking paradox. She should be dismayed. She should be depressed. She should be just staying at home or quitting. But she's not. She's pressing on. She's finding reason to be alive and serve. Oh, may you be a paradox that the world can't understand. Just an earthen vessel like them, but living such a different life. I like sometimes reading John Piper. He's a very precious brother. And he said this one time. Christians, in the midst of difficulties, aren't supposed to live a different life that is just a life of happiness. The Christian life isn't a life of total happiness all the time. Praise the Lord. Everything's fine. A Christian faces problems with a whole different attitude. And when your work associates see the way you handle the problems in your earthen vessel, it's a testimony that there's something in you that they may desire. So there we are. the earthen vessel. Well, I got one question, two questions, three questions, four questions, five questions. Earthen vessels, you contain a treasure. Don't lay there and bemoan your earthenness. If you're young and healthy and strong, thank God for the strength of your youth and serve the Lord in the strength of your youth. But if you're frail and feeble and it's hard to even get around, stand up by the grace of God and let the Lord use you to the capacity that he wants to use you. And remember, all you need to do is be obedient to that spirit within. And when your soul gets downcast, remember that your spirit overcomes by faith. What is the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith. And what he means by that is our spirit rising up through our soul with the truth. I am in Christ. I'm a vessel of Christ. I stand under his precious blood. And by the way, our earthen vessels, even on this earth, do change somewhat. In the presence of the Lord, there's healing power. I wish I could tell you the story of A.B. Simpson, but all I'm going to say is this. The famous guy we write, you know, once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Here's what he learned. He kept seeking God for healing of his life because he had this like chronic fatigue syndrome. And it caused him at 32 years old to have to leave the ministry. And he sought healing and healing and healing. And one day the Lord came to him and said, I'm not going to heal you. But you can take me as your healing. And from that day on, he didn't claim he ever got healed, but that he has Christ dwelling in him as his healer. And he served the Lord for another 50 years in the power of God through Jesus, his healing. When Jesus' presence is within you, there's a certain healing presence there. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God, when we walk in the Spirit, he's able to quicken our mortal bodies. So I'm not going to say the earthen vessel just remains unchanged. I tell you what, even in my condition as my earthen vessel, I want the presence of Christ in my life because it's my healing. And it's my grace. And I'm able to do whatever I can do. If his presence wasn't there, I'm sure I'd fall apart. How about you? Do you realize you're being carried on by the grace of God? You see a testimony even this weekend of a brother going to be 105 years old pretty soon. What's carrying him on? What do you think? Just an earthen vessel consecrated to the Lord. And what do you see? Resurrection. Glory. Face of an angel? I don't know about that. But it's wonderful to know that we're all like that because Christ dwells within. Lord, help us to live fully before you. Help us not to be so overly concerned and obsessed with our earthen vessel, but to realize that you're working from inside out, spirit, soul, through body, and you want us to lay hold of the Christ within as our source of life and all. Teach us these wonderful lessons day by day. In Jesus' name we pray.